at home on time when the redeemed are gathering in. I will raise the heavenly anthem in the city, in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the street of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing will the city will behold when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed, when the redeemed.
Appreciate the Lord with a clap offering again. We'll continue with our topic that we titled The Rapture Pools. This is part two. It's a Bible study and something an Olumide rounded his topic today. I mean, his sermon, the teaching today. He concluded it by saying that by the time we begin to look at Revelation chapter 2, he said, then you will now understand better who we are and what this ministry here is all about. I love that conclusion, brother, that you made. Because I had cause to look at the revival, the leadership, in particularly, I listened to this great man of God, A.A. Allen. They were the contemporaries of William Branham and Oral Roberts. And all of them in that category, I observed that there was only one message they were having in their mouth. They were going about with only one message. Very interesting. And the message was that God can heal. God can perform miracles. God can do wonders. And then it made me understand better the divine agenda. That was all they knew at that time. It was a program of God. And I get to know that we in this age that we are in now, we are a special breed of believers. Amen. I discovered that the emphasis is no more on miracle signs and wonders. That has achieved her purpose. That has achieved her purpose. Listen to what we are saying so that you'll understand where we are in this divine agenda called the mystery of God. A popular phrase in the followership of William Branham's ministry, or what we call the anti-message believers, is this third pool. We are now in the third pool. We are now in the third pool. This is what I want to explain. You may have heard it anywhere from any preacher. Hear my own also. Amen. Then judge who is right and who is wrong. All those who have tried to explain it, and the latest one, I took time to listen to him, is people who are trying to place themselves, personalize themselves as the latest man for everybody to follow. And that's why many of them are looking at me very critically. They're expecting me to also make a claim. I know what you are expecting. In fact, the one Ashomolu said, we are watching him. We know where he's going. We know where he's going. Keep watching. You will soon know I'm on my way to the glory land. Amen. The time has gone. The time has gone for anybody to make any claim. And even if you look at the teaching that William Branham taught in his drawing of the seven church ages and the placement of the seven church age messengers, he did not place himself there. Look at it. He only said there will be. There should be. So it's leaving you to place who you should place there. Apostle Paul didn't say, I am the first time messenger. Neither did Luther say, I am the Sardisian Church Age Messenger. Neither did Wesley say, I am the Philadelphian Church Age Messenger. No man made claim. It is only in this age that you are seeing all manner of people coming. And William Branham, I'm saying this because I want to help these people who are under those false teachers. You know, they criticize me less now in their churches because their members are listening to me on the television. When you say he is false, praise God. I've had testimonies of people who say, somebody was telling me from Kano, Pastor Benson was telling me that a sister from another intermessage church in Kano there, who hates me with perfect hatred, not for anything, but for what I stand. And they have finished me in that church. They don't allow them to watch television, so it's whatever they tell them that they believe. But he entered our brother's house and then met him watching the bright television. I said, is it not this man that they say is Antichrist? Is this? Then she said, listen to him. When you finish the sermon, then we talk. And while she was listening, the power of God came upon her. Oh, praise God. And she was shouting, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. For being part of that blasphemy. And that's not the first. And in many other places. And yet, it is not about me. It is about what I am saying. Listen to what I am saying. Praise the Lord. We are very privileged people. So judge for what I'm saying concerning every doctrine I preach. I fell into that same mistake most preachers fall into, and I'm regretting it, that I have to go back and correct all my errors when God's mercy came down. And I'm saying it authoritatively, and I've challenged them. Let anybody come with your Bible and tell me anything I'm teaching is wrong. You can only come like the denomination and say, our church, this is how we believe it. Our church, we baptize Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Our church, we sprinkle water. Our church, we do infant baptism. Our church, not everybody. You must be a communicant. You must be confirmed before you become communicant. Our church, that is your church. But let's come back to the Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it is necessary that you be established in this present truth. Brethren, we are part of an agenda of God. And the interesting thing is this. God is not obligated to explain anything to anybody. When it's time for him to move, he will move. If you don't move with him, he doesn't care. He's moving along. But it's better you know when he's moving so that you can move with him. There are a lot of things going on, and it looks as if God is endorsing them. He's not endorsing them. He knows what he's doing. Let me tell you, the rapture has, technically, rapture has started. Listen very well. It is the rapture that we call pools. The process whereby God is harvesting his children from the earth, pulling them from earth to glory, is what we are talking about. The pool is the rapture process. Pull you from water, the fish, to earth, away from water. Revelation 13 says water is a multitude of people. The world, when we are in the world, but not of this world, one of these days, he will come to harvest his fishes from the sea and take them up. That is the rapture. And how did he say he will do it? There's a scripture I want us to read in John chapter 12 and verse 12. verse 32. Sorry. John chapter 12, verse 32. Hear this statement that the Lord Jesus Christ said.
And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
Again.
And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
Where was that achieved? At the cross. He's talking of his death on the cross. But that is where, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man also be lifted up. He was lifted up on the cross on Calvary. So sometimes when you sing, lift him up higher, lift him up higher. Amen. Yes, we shall lift him up, lift up his name in worship. But if you are quoting that verse, it's actually saying, crucify him higher. And we cannot crucify him a second time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he was lifted up on the cross on Calvary. When that is achieved, the price for redemption is paid. Fully paid. He says it is finished. Then he will draw all men to himself. In another form, he says, believe in me. Read John chapter 14, verse 1.
Let not your hearts be troubled.
Yes.
Ye believe in God.
Uh-huh.
Believe also in me.
Uh-huh.
In my Father's house are many mansions.
Uh-huh.
If it were not so, I would have told you.
Yes.
I go to prepare a place for you.
Uh-huh.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself.
So that,
that where I am, there ye may also be also.
And then, hallelujah. He went to the cross. Remember, he came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my sins. He said, from the cross to the grave, and from the grave to the sky. That's where he is waiting for us. That's why when he will be coming to collect us, he will be there. And he will shout my name. Which name will he shout? You didn't hear. Say my name. Which name will he shout? He will shout, Moses Alu. Come forth. And then we will meet him in the air. Glory be to God. But the mystery about it is that John chapter 6. And so he's hanging on the cross. Matthew 11:28, listen, that is the drawing.
Come,
he said what?
Come unto me, uh-huh, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Come unto me, that rest is where we shall be with him eternally. Come unto me, come. But the mystery about it is in John chapter 6 and verse 44. We are doing Bible study.
No man can come to me.
Nobody can come to him, Jesus,
except the Father which has sent me draw him.
Okay.
And now I will raise him up at the last day.
Okay, now. So it is completely, that is why I said the agenda for salvation is not agenda of Jesus. It is the agenda, it's a program of God himself. And he's using Jesus to fulfill it. I don't know if you understand my grammar. I should say it again. I will say it again. The divine agenda for salvation is not the agenda of Jesus. It is a mystery of God. What is the mystery? The mystery is, for God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself. So Jesus, make it clearly now, verse 44, what does he say?
No man can come to me.
No man can come to Jesus. Nobody can answer the call of Jesus. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, unless what?
Except the Father which has sent me.
Because it is the Father has that sent him. Mm. Oh, verse 37, what does he say?
All that the Father giveth me shall come
John
to me.
John chapter 6, verse 37. What did he say?
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Okay, now.
And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
When did the Father give them to him? From the foundation of the world. Oh, let's read scriptures. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, verse 4.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings
in
heavenly places in Christ.
He blessed us in Christ. It's still God's program. Go ahead.
According as he has chosen us in him.
He, God, has chosen us in Christ. When?
Before the foundation of the world.
Not the day that you gave your life to Christ. Before the foundation of the world, and that was in the mind of God. Praise the Lord. That is why it is a mystery. Don't just go to church and pray in Jesus' name and pay tithe and offering and clap hands and see miracle signs and wonder taking place. When you close, where are you coming from? I'm coming from church. It was very wonderful today. Yes, it was wonderful. But it is more than that. It is an agenda. God did not send Jesus to the cross on Calvary. Eh? You don't come. Eh? Eh? She don't come. Eh? She don't come. Stand up. Did you walk around?
I'm just coming.
You're just coming in.
Yes, sir.
Just the waka. The waka. Just the waka. Just the waka. Come. Not the waka, only this side. They do coordinator work. Anybody you see sleeping, don't tap them. Say, listen. The waka. The waka. Just the do waka. Waka, waka. Just the waka. Waka. Just the waka. Go around. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't just be religious. There is something going on that the whole world does not know anything about. It is the hidden wisdom of God, Apostle Paul said, that is hidden from the foundation of the world. But he said, but it is revealed now. It was revealed, then why are you not interested in knowing it? I was discussing this morning with Elvis Smart. I said, how can somebody be serving God and you don't want to know anything about that God? You can never know God through gifts. So. You can never know God through gifts. And Satan is using gifts and anointing and blinding people from knowing God. So I was telling him, I told him, I said, I am worried that there are people, some people in the ministry here that are not interested in Bible study. Some of them come because it is compulsory. We say, you must come. No interest. Hey, one of these days, when the saints shall march to heaven, with Jesus as their leader,
marching onward like soldiers, yes, able soldiers, singing and rejoicing. Oh, hear the singers shout, honor, honor.
Wait, when they say sinners, it's not armed robbers, so it's not bandits and kidnappers and terrorists, so. They will never cry, oh Lord, have I not? They will never. Because they know what they are doing. They know what they are doing. The people that will regret it. Jesus said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Are people who gave the impression to the whole world that they are Christians. And they miss it. So better know it now. And the truth about it is this. Your faith can never rise. your service of God, your relationship with God can never rise above your knowledge of who he is. Okay, now that you are doing miracle signs and wonders does not mean you know him, because Matthew chapter 7 says, in at that day, say, they will say, was, you know, in your name I cast out devil, I do this, I do that. He said he didn't know you. How can I be using the anointing of the Holy Ghost and I don't have the Holy Ghost? How can I be using the name of Jesus and that Jesus doesn't know me? So how has he profited me? That's what I'm, you see, there are people that are sincere. There's a young man that had a very serious vice. He used to be here. After some time, he left here. He left here and went and started a ministry. And when he started that ministry, I heard him. I heard that he said that he has a weakness. And he told God to take away the weakness. And God refused to take the weakness away. That means he's a serpent seed. That means he's a child of hell. So why will he lose here and lose there again? So he had decided, let him enjoy this earth. You know what? You know, Jesus gave that same parable. He said that the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of the kingdom, because he said, make friends of mammon, so that when you lose here, you can fit in among them and continue your life. That was Jesus' own admonishment. Because it's foolish that you're neither here nor you're there. I had one of these preachers, he made a statement helped me a lot. I used to use a whole paragraph to say the same thing he said in one sentence. And he said that he discovered that there are people who claim to be Christians. He said they are neither in a secret cult nor in the secret place. He said you must either be in the secret cult or in the secret place. You must be in one secret place. Hallelujah. Yes, now, if you are neither in the secret cult nor in the secret place, for he that dwelleth in the secret place of your soul abide. You are neither in the secret place nor in the secret cult. You are the most foolish human being on earth. It will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. I saw the effect in our communion service Friday. Did you notice I did not call any prayer points? After the sermon I preached and they took the communion, I didn't call prayer point. From what they had, they now understood the death on the cross and what communion service meant. I didn't call prayer point. For almost 1.5 hours, everybody was praying non-stop. It was because time was going. That was why I stopped the prayer. We will have continued till 6 a.m. If people would have been praying, people were praying their heart out, and nobody gave them a prayer point. That is what revelation does. I'm not saying, I'm not going here on Friday. If you didn't come on Friday, wave your hand. If you are not here Friday, communion service. Okay. Well, thank God you didn't come, because we'll have not had a seat. Thank God you didn't come. So, if you had come, we wouldn't have had a seat, because everywhere was full. Everywhere was full. Now, that's the highest communion service attendance this year. Up and down, all full. Praise God. People are waking up. How can somebody say he has revelation of the death of Jesus on the cross and then downplay Holy Communion? You don't attend communion because you don't understand what it means. The day you understand what it means, it will be in your program. If you travel anywhere, you will make sure you come to attend it. And all these mothers, when they agree come vigil before, hiding, saying, you know, my children, God, don't give us wisdom, we don't catch you now. Children are doing vigil. they also took communion. The whole children church hall was jam-packed with children on Friday. And every Friday, children are having their own. We are having our own here. You don't get the excuse again to stay for your house. What am I doing this ever? I'm calling your attention so that you will take what we are saying seriously. Where we are now, if you are going to be part of what God is doing in this last injury time for salvation, there is something you need to know to enable you to position yourself. Not to be church member of Bride Assembly Church, but you will ensure that you are part of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's all I'm trying to let you understand. That this rapture, they say rapture, right from the first church, they don't think that he will just go, then we shall change, then we are going, aeroplane will crash, this one. It's not like that, oh. Okay, now. Then if it is so, then why is it a mystery? That change that will come, amen, is the climax of what he has started. And if you are not from the first stage, you will never be in the last stage. So better understand it so that you know where you are. God uses three phases. This number three is God's number for perfection. Whatever he does is perfected in the three. Remember, his appearance to us is three. They say it's three persons. It's not three persons. It's three different stages of the same God making his appearance. For our salvation, it's our Father above. He's our Creator. He's our Father. Amen. He came down in a man that he himself begotten. Jesus, the man Jesus. The same him incarnated him as the Son. For the purpose of paying the price for redemption. You see where the salvation process started. The harvest started. And he came now to secure those that he has purchased by dwelling in them through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And when he hung there and said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, what is, he does it when you come, before you will finally settle with him, you undergo three stages, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Three stages. And they are all the process of the pulling us from earth to glory through three different processes. Even the stages for the rapture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, the Lord himself will descend with shout, one, voice of the archangel, two, and the trump of God. Three different stages. Praise the Lord. The shout, Apostle Paul brought it down. Amen. It is only among the intermediate believers that you have us look at 1 Thessalonians 4:16. You never hear it anywhere. Go to a bookshop, you will never see it anywhere. It's not given to them. And the reason is simple. It's simple. In the course of this message, you will know why they will never know it. The first stage there is the shout. We have been talking about the shout. This shout is the message, amen, for the living. It's a ministry of Jesus Christ for the living. And that shout, amen, is calling out the church from the dark ages. The corn of wheat must fall to the ground and die first. The church general now, there is the church as an individual, there is the church again as a universal body. And the same way he deals with you as the individual is the same way he deals with the church universal. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is the church universal. It was planted on the day of Pentecost. It died in AD 325 when Christianity and paganism joined together to form the Rome. Today we know it as Roman Catholic Church. And it produced the dark ages that is represented by the third seal in Revelation chapter 6, the dark black horse rider. But it was, that is Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, if you are picking down the scriptures. It was in that place that you find the revival. Verse 6. He said, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. That was the time that the Catholic Church we are commercializing the gospel. I say, then he now said, and see, thou hot not the oil and the wine. That is, there will be a revival that will spring forth. Amen. That will call out the church again. Amen. Within this period, we have said this over and over and over and over. The three works of grace represented by that in that parable with the three measures of meal that was mixed with leaven by a woman, and that woman is the church, the Roman Catholic Church, the same woman in Revelation chapter 17. And when they mixed it, the whole process of redemption was destroyed. But nobody can defeat the purpose of God. And so the ministry of restoration started. Amen. And that ministry is for the living with that shout. And that is what we see represented in that parable in Mark chapter 4, verse 26.
And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First, the blade.
Then you see, the first thing, the seed has fallen to the ground, it will die. Now it is time for that church to begin to spring up. Three stages. The first stage is what?
First, the blade.
The blade, which is justification.
Then the ear.
The ear, which is sanctification.
After that, the full corn in the ear.
And now that is when the restoration of the gifts. Then what? Go on.
But when the fruit is brought forth.
When what was exactly planted on the day of Pentecost, the full word is produced again.
Immediately, he put that
the rapture will take place.
Because the harvest is come.
It's a mystery that not too many people are seeing it. And if you now study very well church history, Luther, the blade has shot forth. It has moved to the ear. In 1906, the third stage, the gifts were all restored. That is why I'm telling you now. Hallelujah. I said that when it was time for Luther, all they knew was justification, justification, justification. When it was time for Wesley, the whole message they had was only holiness, 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 holiness. And so in the days of the A.A. Allen and all the rest, Robert, Schambach, and all of them, all they knew was the power that was destroyed, the power of the Holy Ghost that was destroyed. They suddenly saw that God restored all the gifts, healing, deliverance, manifesting, showing that Jesus is the same yesterday and forever. That was all that was in their mouth. So everywhere they went, is Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Miracle, signs, and wonder. That is all they knew. If you ever want to get perfected, you will never know anything other than power and gift among the Pentecostals. And each one of them formed their denomination. But there are other aspects of the gospel. that the apostles also preached. And within that period, there are men that rose up with these truths: predestination, eternal security, water baptism, the Godhead, and all these other ones. Everyone ran off with their own. This one disagree with it, this one agree, this one disagree with this. Amen. That is why the last stage of that verse, Mark chapter 4, parable.
Verse 29.
Yes.
But when the fruit is brought forth.
Now, it is not yet brought forth until you have the complete word of God. Oh, glory be to God. Until you have the complete gospel as presented by our apostolic fathers. Until you see a group of people that believe exactly as the Bible and makes the Bible their reference and their absolute and nothing more. And this is what we are striving to achieve in this ministry. But brethren, it's not easy. Because we have so much hangover from where we are coming. The average gifted brother, gifted sister sees the gift as opportunity to make money. If not, why will a woman pass through this church after hearing all we are hearing? Leave here and go and set up a church. And ministers here will follow her to make her their mommy Joe. Did they understand what we are doing here? That's what we are saying. Praise God. Or the prophet that goes to employ a preacher. He will come and preach for him. Then he will only come and collect microphone and exercise the gift. And he is the Jew. And yet they were here with us. It's difficult to achieve that. People are getting surprised. How is it possible? Pastor, they call me, they ask me, how is it possible, Pastor, that you have this level of prophets in your church? He said, no prophet, nobody, no prophet will have the anointing that these your prophets have and remain under a pastor that does not have that gift. So they are surprised. But we have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. Who's the original? We are coming back. I'm not saying we have arrived. I will not be surprised still if some ministers live here, even after today. But whether you go or not, it is recorded that I preached it. And I will not fight you because you live. I have never had a meeting, directly or indirectly, promise anybody, Timo, Chayola, Boboye, any minister sitting down here, Amarachi, did I say, stay here and walk with me, I will take care of you. Did I ever? I have never. No minister since this church started, did I say, come and walk with me, come and walk with me. I have never and I will never. I don't know who you are. God can bring you here today and tomorrow tell you to go. And don't let me use my influence and keep you here. Follow the spirit that brought you here. And let the spirit take you to where they carry you go. Everybody cannot be here anyway. I say everybody cannot be here anyway. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But any minister that has a pastoral grace, has the word, and lives here, we will support you. We are supporting even those who just caught the message through television. We have a good number of them who have never been members of this church, that we take care of them. Every month we send them allowances to help them in their ministry. To go on and preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But the day, including those who were here before, when we notice it deviate, we just, you're on your own. Two cannot work together except they agree. I will be stressing this. Okay now. I'm doing what God has called me to do. Time will prove it all. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so the perfecting ministry then comes up. And that is why I keep looking at the ministry of William Branham. And I say, that is the part of the perfecting ministry. Praise the Lord. We will come to that. I will explain it. So the shout, which is the first stage of the coming of the Lord, is that same midnight cry of verse 6 of Matthew 25. At midnight, the dark ages, there was a revival. There was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Come out of the dark ages to meet him. That is the pool. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, now. The next one is what? Hallelujah. The voice of the archangel. After Christ has finished the ministry of the living, the perfection has been completed just before the harvest. There is the voice of the archangel. Which archangel? The archangel, Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's read it.
And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven.
Yes.
Clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire.
Who is this angel by this description? Shout his name. It's the Lord Jesus himself. Listen very well.
And he had in his hand a little book open.
Uh-huh.
And he set his right foot upon the sea.
Uh-huh.
And his left foot on the earth.
Uh-huh.
And cried with a loud voice.
Uh-huh.
As when a lion roared.
Uh-huh.
And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices.
Uh-huh.
And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices,
uh-huh,
I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me,
uh-huh,
seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not.
Uh-huh.
And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea,
uh-huh,
and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven,
uh-huh,
and swear by him that liveth forever and ever,
uh-huh,
who created heaven and the things that are therein are,
uh-huh,
and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer.
Now, when he sounded his voice, seven thunders uttered their voices. We have spoken it this way, because we are repeating what some mighty men were saying, until the Lord himself came and let me understand this, and I share it confidently to the glory of God, that the seven thunder message is not for the living anymore. It's Christ's ministry for the dead. That's why he told the Apostle John not to write it. What is for us has been written for us to see. But what is not for us, he said, don't write it. So, till today, no man knows. Only John went to the grave with it. No man knows what. Anybody that comes and says the seventh thunder has been revealed, the seventh thunder is the message. The seventh thunder is the seven virtues. The seventh thunder is this. You are only groping in confusion. God has not allowed you yet to know what it is. And we will never know unless we go to the grave before he comes. Then he will meet us there. But it is not for the living. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ has a message both for the dead and for the living. The first pattern, hallelujah, when he finished redeeming the living, paid the price on the cross on Calvary, The Bible tells us that he went and preached to the souls that are in prison. That is how the Apostle Paul put it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 and verse 10.
Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above.
What did he descend to do in the lower parts of the earth? It is repeated again in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19 and verse 20.
By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison.
He went, descended, this prison there, grave. He descended to preach unto the spirits in prison. He has finished preaching to the living. Go on.
Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by
chapter
water.
4 again, verse 6.
For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead.
So the gospel will be preached, was preached to them that are dead. He has a ministry for the dead also. And it was after that ministry that in Matthew 27, they all came out of the grave with him. Oh, praise the Lord. And so, you now understand in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, what he meant by that. John chapter
Marvel 5. Not at this.
Yes.
For the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice.
Yes.
And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
And I'll come to the resurrection of life. They are also in three phases. But that is the second stage for the rapture. Now he has finished the shout for the living. The voice of the archangel that produces the seven thunders to them that are dead. That is the second stage. That is the second pool. Then the third pool is what? The trump of God. What is this trump of God? Praise the Lord. The trump of God is the trumpet that sounds and gathers the two groups. Remember that the dead in Christ shall rise first. When they rise, then we shall have the rapturing faith. We that are alive, when we see them, we will also be changed in a moment. When we are changed, we are not in the same glorified body. For the first resurrection, they were moving about in Jerusalem and around for 40 days. And everybody saw them. And so also, there will be some period where those that resurrected will be also doing some things with us. We will be fellowshipping, waiting for the trumpet. When the trumpet blows, then together we will now go and meet him in the air. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because remember that Numbers chapter 10 verse 1. Numbers chapter 10 verse 1.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
yes,
make thee two trumpets of silver.
Okay.
Of a whole piece shall thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly.
What? What is it for?
For the calling of the assembly. And for the journeying of the camp.
So what is trumpet for? For gathering. That is the third pool. And we are with him there in the air. Remember, praise the Lord. This resurrection is also in three phases. This first resurrection, Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 to 6.
The and first I resurrection. Saw thrones, and they sat upon them.
Yes.
And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus.
Yes.
And for the word of God. And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their right or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
They reigned 1,000 years. Yes.
But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection.
This is the first resurrection. Verse 6.
Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power.
No, but this first resurrection is also in three phases. The first phase is the one that we saw, the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah 26 and verse 19. What does it say? There was a prophecy for it. For this
thy
resurrection.
Thy dead men shall live together.
Thy dead men shall live.
Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For the dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead.
When was that fulfilled? It's in Matthew 27 from verse 51.
And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose.
Verse 43.
And came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many.
And Acts chapter 1 let us know that it lasted for 40 days, that appearing. Now listen, church. Is it Acts chapter 1 or Luke chapter 1? Praise the Lord. Now listen. This is the first part of the resurrection. Now listen. They resurrected, but they are not yet with Christ. Listen. They are only waiting somewhere because the resurrection is not yet complete. And the reason why, because Christ is not yet with them. Christ is still on the mercy seat. He is now in his office of the high priest, interceding until the last elect comes in. Then he stands up to fulfill Revelation chapter 10, the archangel movement, going to the dead. I hope I'm understood. That is the first stage. It is still part of the first resurrection, because there is resurrection unto life, and there is a resurrection unto damnation. Two resurrections. First resurrection is for eternal life. Second resurrection is for total annihilation, the lake of fire. And they are all in Revelation chapter 20. The second part of the first resurrection is the one we are expecting now. Amen. That is the second part. The third part is those two prophets in Revelation chapter 11 from verse 7.
And when they shall have finished their
that
testimony.
That is when the gospel will now come to Israel. Praise the Lord. Yes.
The beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them.
Yes.
And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and an half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them.
Those two prophets will be killed, and the whole world will see them. Moses and Elijah anointing. The Elijah that was promised in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. That is when he appears in Revelation chapter 11 to begin the revival of Israel, when the gospel will go to them. Go on.
And shall rejoice over them and make merry.
Yes.
And shall send gifts one to another. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into
will
them.
Will enter into those dead bodies.
And they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them.
Verse 12.
And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them.
What does it say?
Come up either.
That is their own pool.
And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them.
That is the third part of the first resurrection. Praise the Lord. Now, after this rapture, the next thing that happens is the day of vengeance, otherwise known as the day of the Lord. Take note that this day of the Lord is different from the white throne judgment. This day of the Lord is what happens as he clears and rearranges the earth to remove all this evil and pack them where he will pack them, to join their master in the bottomless pit, and then we will come down with him and rule this earth for 1,000 years. Now, hallelujah. Now, listen. Amen. But before we come, fire will come upon this earth. There will be a judgment upon this earth. And that is where many people are missing it. Once the rapture has taken place, you don't go in the rapture, you have lost it forever. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. This same Jesus that is the Savior, his office will soon change to the office of a judge. There will be no mercy again. This is the time of mercy. When people have opportunity now to go to heaven, allow God to work the work of salvation in you. People are playing church and playing religion. As soon as Lot left Sodom, what happened? Fire came down. That's why we say, hallelujah. Whatever trouble, including the tribulation and everything, has nothing to do with the bride. We are gone. We are up there. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. But the interesting thing is that they had the message of the angels that came to take them out of Sodom. But the wife, she was going with her leg, but her heart was still in Sodom. You are going to church with your leg. Where is your heart? Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. She looked back. And Apostle Peter is it that said, we are not of them that draw back to perdition. We are those that believe to the saving of our soul. We go all the way. Don't look back. Don't look back. Obedience. Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 17, therefore, Luke was quoting the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 26.
And as it was in the days of Noah,
yes,
so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man.
What of Noah? Noah too. Hallelujah. Judgment came only after he entered the ark. We too, as we go, we will leave this earth before judgment will come. Read on.
They did eat, they drank,
yes,
they married wives, they were given in marriage.
Nothing wrong about it, though. It's only a description of life they were living and enjoying themselves. As if the life is going to continue like that. God was warning them. Warning was coming. Danger is coming. They were just living their life, their godless life. Go on.
Until the day that Noah entered into the ark.
When he entered into the ark, did they know? Go ahead. And what happened?
And flood came and destroyed them all.
Go on.
Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
It's the same thing that will happen. People will be there enjoying themselves suddenly. The Bible says when they'll be saying peace, peace, then sudden destruction. Church, listen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many people don't understand that scripture. If many are called, few are chosen, then you should know what is the qualification to be chosen. Because after the shout, the restoration ministry, the response, it attracted mixed multitude. Because there is a mixed multitude, and this comprised of three groups that made up the multitude. First group is the tares, the foolish virgin, and the wise virgins. They were all in that group. Therefore, there must be separation. Hallelujah. There must be separation. Every move produced these three groups. When it was time for justification, the blade that sprang forth, many people left the Catholic Church. These three groups of people were there. The wise ones, the foolish ones, and the tares. When it moved again to John Wesley time, these three groups of people were there. The tares, the foolish virgins, and the wise virgins. Then again, we have now this last move, this Pentecostal age, when the gifts were restored, these same three groups are there again. The wise virgins, the foolish virgins, and the tares. And what did he say in Matthew 13 and verse 30?
Let's all grow together until the harvest.
Let all of them grow together until when?
The harvest.
Until when?
The harvest.
Until the harvest. The harvest is the end time. And that harvest is the present day ministry that is going on. What will happen?
And the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them.
Okay.
But gather the wheat into my barn.
And the same thing mixture also, the seventh parable, speaking about the seventh church age, speaking about this very age that we are in now, in that same Matthew 13 verse 47.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels.
You see separation? See the separation, yes?
But cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world.
At this end time,
what the angels shall come forth.
Those angels are the reapers in Matthew 13 verse 30, yes?
And sever the wicked from the just.
There will be separation. There will be separation. From where? It's from the church, or not the whole world like that, oh. It's from the church. The mixed multitude. Pharaoh, let my people go. Everybody joined the Jews, God's people, and they were going. It's God came for his own. Come to me. Everybody is hearing it. And now they are all say, everybody is a Christian. Everybody is a Christian. I was discussing yesterday with some of the ministers. I said, do you know that all these worldly musicians, they go to one church or the other, they have pastor? Do you know that all those people that were in BB, like Big Brother, do you know all of them have pastors? Do you know all those nonsense you people see in the Facebook and everything? Do you know that all of them, they have pastors? And you are wondering what is happening. And they are all going to churches. Big, big, big churches. Let me show you a mystery. That is made clear in the story of Esther. I will explain that, then we end for today. But we need to break this thing down very well. In Esther chapter 1 and chapter 2, it helps us to understand this great mystery. If you study this book of Esther, the first two chapters is the story of the salvation of the Gentiles. It is essentially the Gentiles, the church of Jesus Christ. It will help you understand why God allowed different denominations. Olumide was rounding his sermon. He said, by the time we finish, he said, you will now understand why and how the church, that it used to be the church at Philippi, the church at Galatia, the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus. But now, it has now become Redeemed Assemblies of God, Pride Assembly, Catholic, and all this. You say, what happened? You will understand it now. God allowed it. It's part of the agenda. It is part of the separation process. And so that you understand why every pastor is a servant of God. I stood there and I told you that stop calling people anyhow unless you know otherwise. Don't just conclude. Everyone is working out a purpose of God in the church of Jesus Christ. Why so many of them today? Servants of God, servants of God, servants of God. If you read that story, the story begins with the king Ahasuerus, who had a queen by the name of Vashti. I'm summarizing it. You can read it, the whole chapter 1 and chapter 2. I will paraphrase it for you because of our time. Take time and study and read it. And I've preached that before in detail. And he made a feast and invited the queen, Vashti. She refused to come. And so the king got angry and put her away. Now, take note that in that book of Esther, in chapter 1, verse 10, there are 7 chamberlains there. And their names are mentioned there. Everything there has something to make you understand about what is going on in the church. 7 of them there, what are they typing in the church today? They are described there as the 7 chamberlains. Let's read it.
On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Meruman, Bista, Abona, Bikta, Anabakta, Zeta, and Kakas, the 7 chamberlains.
How many?
7.
What do they do?
That served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king.
Their own duty, they were servants. Take note, they were servants that served the king. What are they? They are a type that we see, the 7-star messengers in Revelation chapter 1 from verse 12 to verse 20. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 16, what does he say?
And he had in his right hand 7 stars.
Yes.
And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword.
Uh-huh.
And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength.
Uh-huh. Verse 16, but that's verse 20.
The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand,
uh-huh,
and the 7 golden candles.
Who are the 7 stars?
The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches.
Uh-huh.
And the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches.
So they are the servants of God. They are a type of the 7 chamberlains in the court of King Ahasuerus. Now in Esther chapter 1, verse 13 to 21, there is another set of 7 chamberlains, different from the first angels. Name them.
Then the king sent to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew.
Again.
Then the king said to the wise men.
What did he call them?
Wise men.
Which knew
the times.
Uh-huh.
For so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment.
Go on.
And the next unto him was Kashina, Sheta,
uh-huh,
Admata,
uh-huh,
Tashish, uh-huh, Meris, uh-huh, Masina, and Memucan,
uh-huh,
the 7 princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, uh-huh, and which sat the first in the kingdom.
So there we are with him in the kingdom. Listen very well. Go on.
What shall we do unto the queen Vashti?
The king was asking these 7 chamberlains. What was he saying?
What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to law?
Uh-huh.
Because she had not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains. And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen had not done wrong to the king only.
So they were advising the king. So the king was seeking advice from these 7 chamberlains. 7 chamberlains. But these ones, they were not referred to as his servants. But they were those who sought his face. They were with him. And I studied that. And I see a perfect type in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4.
John, to the seven churches which are in Asia.
Yes.
Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come.
Uh-huh.
And from the seven spirits which are before his throne.
How many spirits?
Seven spirits.
They are a type of that second group. Professor, do you agree or you disagree? Hallelujah. Now, that is a type of the move of God in the seven church ages. The Spirit of God, as he manifested himself in the seven church ages. Now, listen very well. Look at these two scriptures. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13 and verse 14.
Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord?
Uh-huh.
Or being his counselor, hath taught him?
Who can teach God anything? Who can be the advisor of God?
With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him?
With who will he take counsel? Who will instruct God?
And taught him in the path of judgment.
Uh-huh.
And taught him knowledge.
Who will teach God knowledge?
And showed to him the way of understanding.
The answer is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. In another statement that is made there.
Having made known unto us the mystery of his will,
uh-huh,
according to his good pleasure,
uh-huh,
which he had proposed in himself.
Again.
Having made known unto us the, uh-huh, mystery of his will,
uh-huh,
according to his good pleasure.
Not according to the advice somebody gave him. Go on.
Which he had proposed in himself.
Not according to what somebody told him to do. Go on, we have not finished.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of time,
yes,
he might gather together in one, uh-huh, all things in Christ,
uh-huh,
both which are in heaven and, uh-huh, which are on earth, uh-huh, even in him.
Go on.
In whom also we have obtained.
This is where we are going now. This is where I'm going, yes?
Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
So who are those seven chamberlains? God cannot counsel with anybody. He counsels with himself. That is why you have the seven spirits of God, a type of the seven chamberlains that advised the king on what to do with those who rejected him. Take note again in that same story. In chapter 1, you saw the seven chamberlains. Their names we are written. But when you come to Esther chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9, there is one other mention of another chamberlain there.
So it came to pass,
yes,
when the king's commandments and his decree was heard,
yes,
and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace,
yes,
to the custody of Agai.
What is the name?
Agai.
Among those seven, he was not there. So he is the eighth chamberlain. What is his duty?
That Esther was brought also unto the king's house.
Yes.
To the custody of Agai, keeper of the women.
What is his duty?
Keeper of the women.
When he says the keeper of the women, that doesn't mean it's not a prison yard. He is the one that prepares them and takes care of the women. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. So, remember that this, based on the advice of those chamberlains, announcements was made that, hey, the king wants to select a queen. So if you are interested, see where you should go for preparation. And all the Bible says all the maidens, those who felt they are beautiful enough, qualified to be the queen. Remember, there will only be one queen. So, everybody in the kingdom, all the girls, went out to prepare themselves to become the queen. That is a type of what is happening today. King Jesus sent, hallelujah, getting ready to receive his queen, the bride. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Listen very well. Now they all went out. And what you see today, every church is a maiden. Where you are coming from, amen, you will bear the name of where you are coming from until the wedding day. So we have redeemed. We have chosen. We have even bride assembly. We have Sele. We have Catholic Baptists. Four Square. And all the, if not even millions of churches. Every one of them are waiting for rapture. Many are called, but few are chosen. Who is this Hege that after they come together, after those seven chamberlains finish with them, they bring them over to chamberlain called Hege? Who is Hege? Hege is a type of the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. For the perfecting of the saints. When all the ages gather their believers, there is the perfecting ministry. And that is what we see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11.
And verse 12. He gave some.
Yes.
Apostles.
Yes.
And some prophets.
Yes.
And some evangelists.
Uh-huh.
And some pastors and teachers.
Uh-huh.
For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ.
For the perfecting of the saints. You must be perfected in holiness, in doctrine, sanctification, in everything about the knowledge of God. The knowledge of salvation. It's not enough that you are holy. You don't lie, you don't steal, you don't fornicate. There is also God's righteousness. There are things he expects you to do at any given time. And you are told what to do, and you are equipped with what you will dress yourself. And you refuse. According to that chapter 2. Amen. Hallelujah. When the Hege, after dressing you, you'll be presented to the king for inspection. The king will now look at you according to the story there. You will come in the morning. Can we read that place so that they know what I'm referring to? Praise the Lord. Esther chapter 2. Yes, go ahead.
Then thus came every maiden unto the king.
Uh-huh.
Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women.
Uh-huh.
Unto the king's house.
Uh-huh.
In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the
We are house. Reading Esther chapter 2 verse 13. Let's read it again. Then thus came every maiden
yes, unto the king.
Yes.
Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her.
Uh-huh.
Out of the house of the women unto the king's
note,
house.
Take note. She has come. The maiden has come to Hegeo to be dressed. But see the way it is put there.
Whatsoever she desired.
It is what she wants. The way she wants to dress.
Was given her to go with her.
It will be given to her to go and meet the king. Go ahead.
Out of the house of the women unto the king's house.
Uh-huh.
Then in the evening she went.
In the evening she will go for inspection before the king.
And on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women.
Then in the morning the king will send her to another ministry.
to the custody of Shahazgaz.
This ministry is called Shahazgaz ministry. Who is he?
The chamberlain which kept the concubines.
There are the ministers that keep the concubines of Jesus. If you don't catch this, then you will never know the mystery of redemption. This is the separation that is taking place. He sends him to another ministry. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is the Hege ministry and there is the Shah Ashgaz ministry. This ministry takes care of the concubines of Jesus. Why? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And another group. And he that cometh to me, I will no wise cast away. I will reject you totally. After all, you love me. Hallelujah. After all, you love me. But you will be my concubine. Now, does that not let you understand why God did not rebuke Solomon for having 1,000 wives and concubines? Some were called wives. Some were called concubines. David. Some were called wives. Some were called concubines. Abraham had children from concubine, but he had a wife. Oh, glory be to God. Not one time did God rebuke them. It was speaking about the church. There will be concubine wives or women, concubines, concubine churches of Christ. Who are those that go there? They are those who want to dress themselves. They want to come by their own standard, not by the standard of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, 3, and 4 explains that also.
Preach the word.
Yes.
Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
This is the reason.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
These people here, it's not people in the world, Christians, they will not endure sound doctrine.
But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers?
They will heap to themselves the type of teaching, the type of word that they want.
Having itching ears.
Itching ears. Verse 4.
And they shall turn away their ears from the truth.
They will turn, they are the ones, they will turn their ears away from the truth.
And shall be turned unto fables.
And that is why we now have 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading from verse 9.
Even if,
yes,
whose coming is after the working of Satan,
with the mystery of iniquity, yes,
with all power and signs and lying wonders.
Read it up to verse 12.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish.
Where does he succeed? He succeeds in among them that are destined to perish.
Because they received not the love of the truth.
Because they
that they might be saved.
So that they might be saved.
And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion.
Because of this, this is God now by himself. What will he do?
Shall send them strong delusion.
What will they cause? Tell them what will happen.
That they should believe a lie.
God will do something to make somebody believe a lie.
That they all might be damned.
Okay, now.
Who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Okay, now. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of God. That's why I preach a message. I said, deceived by God. People are wondering, which can someone be that? God gave you his standard. You said, no, this is how I want to serve God. In Romans chapter 2, I'll soon finish this, please. In Romans chapter 2 from verse 6.
Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patience continuous in well-doing.
Listen,
seek for glory and honor and immortality. Eternal life.
That will be our reward. Yes.
But unto them that are contentious.
And contending with the truth.
And do not obey
the
truth.
They will not obey the truth.
But obey unrighteousness.
They will obey unrighteousness.
Indignation and wrath.
Your reward is indignation and wrath of
tribulation.
God. Tribulation will be your portion.
And anguish.
Anguish will be your portion.
Upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Uh-huh. Of the Jew first, uh-huh, and also of the Greek, okay, of the Gentile.
Okay, read on.
But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there's no respect of persons with God.
That's right. Praise the Lord. So who is charged God's ministry? Is he on now? As God's ministry is on now. How do we identify them? By their refusal of truth. How can you say you want to come to Christ and you come with, it doesn't matter, you can come anyhow? How can you know you are living an evil life, and the pastor is saying, it doesn't matter, God loves you the way you are. You know you're a prostitute, and you have a pastor that is telling you, no, that's your own nature, continue, it's not you. How would you, a Christian, want to dress like a prostitute? I saw a sister that came to the altar here now to drop offering. And from the appearance, she's a married woman. Her skirt was above her knees. And she wore high heels school heel. Now, white skirt she wears, so that if you see the person, you will know what they talk about. High heels shoe. Come to church. You know you can't dress like that to go to your office. And whether office or not, are you a Christian only when going to church? And there is a pastor that is telling you, oh, you look good, you look good, you look wonderful, you look, mwah, take away. God raised that pastor to separate you from the wheat. The separation time. That man is a man of God. But you know what? Amen. Listen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For anybody to be your leader, amen, the leader has to be the one that knows the destination. He knows where he's going. So you are following him to where he is going. They are servants of God. It's not every servant of God that is going to heaven. For ministry of tares to gather tares, he will need another tare to lead them all to the hellfire. Telling you now, be careful who you make as your pastor. And it's not what every man says that you follow. Be sure, if you want to go to heaven, be sure that your pastor also wants to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. But what qualified Esther? Esther chapter 2, verse 15.
Now, when the throne of Esther, the daughter of Abiel, the uncle of Mordecai, uh-huh, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king. Uh-huh. She required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed.
Hey.
And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So,
take note. What qualified Esther? Amen. Is that it is only what that chamberlain gave her to dress that she received. The other ones, it is what they wanted from the chamberlain. But Esther was the one. Oh, glory be to God. Only the one that, I don't know how well I will stress this thing to. There is no time. Hallelujah. When the role is called up yonder, will you be there? We will look at who, what will qualify you. We will conclude it next week. But when the role is called up yonder, will you be there? Thank you.
shall rise in the glory of his resurrection shed. When his chosen one shall gather to the home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
We shall rise.
We shall rise.
We shall rise. resurrection morning, we shall meet him in the air.
We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise.
We shall be carried up to glory, to our home so bright and bare.
We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise.
There is hope. Hallelujah. And let the name of the Lord be praised. Somebody, if you were blessed both from Sunday school and the sermon that just ended, can you clap your hands again for the Lord Jesus Christ?